We do have Karen Lyle, at least, and we're trying to get her guest right now. Karen Lyle joins us from Barcelona, Spain. And Karen, I liked your interview last week that you did along the Thames in London. I was just there the week before you. We passed each other over the Atlantic, I guess. But what's going on in Barcelona now?
Well, actually, the real action was in Malta, and over this last 5 days, there was a Rolex Middle Sea race, which was fantastic. I mean, it was 113 boats coming from all over Europe to start in Malta and then sail around Sicily and come back to Malta, and it took over 4 days. And so I was in after you and I waved over the Atlantic, I went to Paris and then I went to London, and I was, and you heard the interview with Jennifer Woods of the Royal Thames Yacht Club. And then from there I went to Dublin and then to Malta. So anyway, now I'm in Barcelona and I've just begun what I'm doing here, but I really wanted to talk about the Malta race because that's still, everybody is all abuzz about it.
Well, to me, Malta is one of those places I've always wanted to go to, and just the intense history, especially when you think about the Crusades and everything that goes with it. It's a really a hidden secret, and I always wanted to see Valletta, the capital. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Well, first of all, when you're looking at it from, well, we were staying in an apartment overlooking the marina, and what's unique about the way in which the city and the water interact is that when you're, the marina is right in the middle of the city, so the yacht club is inside of an inlet, and that inlet is surrounded by these huge, historic, beautiful stone buildings on either side. So when you're going sailing down or coming in or out of that, you're just seeing this history on either side. It's not like a beach in a barren, you know, it's just like you're going right through these cathedrals and amazing buildings. It's really awesome.
It's an amazing feeling too when you think about how, you know, you're just south of Sicily when you're in Malta, and yet you're actually more south than Tunis. So you get that amazing North African, you know, Muslim architecture, as I said, with Christianity, the old school European. It's kind of a clash of two cultures that just comes together perfectly, isn't it?
Well, and the people are just so delightful. And I'm hoping, I was trying to conference call the Podesta family in on this call, but I guess calling from Barcelona, my Apple iPhone just does not pick up the conference call in Malta because they're in Malta right now. So I'm giving that to Dominic to kind of work on the details for that. But basically, you know, the winners of this, the winner overall of the race are our family, Podesta family, on a boat called Elusive 2, and they are Maltese. And so this was actually the first time that they won the race after 18 years of competing in it as a family. And so it was just a very emotional moment. There was this grand ceremony in what used to be an old hospital, just a really grand building in Valletta. And there were, I don't know, 500,000. I lost count of how many people there. But the president of Malta was there, and, you know, many dignitaries. You know, there were trophies that were given for many categories, not just winner overall, but, you know, it was a very fine presentation that's basically paid for by the Rolex watch company, and they've been doing this and sponsoring it for many years now, and it was a very emotional moment for all of those who were there, not just those who were from Malta, but for, you know, for the other people to know that Elusive won this race, because the father who started it all has passed away 4 years ago, and so the children dedicated the race to him.
Dominic tells me he looks like we will have the Podestas in the next segment, which is good news. What was the What was the plan for you? Because you know, I went to London, saw some soccer teams. I worked the Raider game there, and then I went to Paris, Munich, and then Colmar, a little Alsace. Went to Heidelberg, and then flew back. For you, with the sailing in mind and everything, was Dublin a little side trip to you? Was there sailing going on there as well?
No. Yeah, there was. I mean, basically, I was there discussing the 300th anniversary that's coming up next year for the Royal Cork Yacht Club, which is the oldest yacht club. The Royal Thames is the oldest continuing yacht club, but the Royal Cork is the oldest yacht club. And they're going to have this huge shindig with like 500 boats coming from all over the world for their big party next year. And I met with David Brannigan, who is a reporter, and he reports for not just the Dublin Times, but the London Times, but he also does some television and audio. And I was really interested to have a conversation with him about how sailing as a sport is being covered in the mainstream media there. And he's been doing like little sport, you know, segments on sailing for years now. And we don't see that so much other than what you and I are doing here with Sail Sport Talk. We don't see that so much here in the United States, but evidently Dublin has some beginnings on that and has been doing it for a while. So we had a great conversation. He's going to be a correspondent for us. And part of my reason for making this journey and going to so many different countries has been to set up relationships with the different yacht clubs who are pivotal in significant races in the area, but also with people who can be correspondents for Sail Sport Talk, so we can get the latest and greatest happening in Europe as well as what's happening in the United States.
One more question before the break. I know the Royal Thames Yacht Club, they have their headquarters over by Hyde Park, but when I took a Thames cruise down to Hampton Court, I went by many, I think it was around like, you know, Putney and over there, I saw a lot of the sculls and a lot of the rowers sort of near the Wandsworth and others. Is that, did you go to the actual Thames or did you go to the very fancy yacht club building in Belgravia?
Well, I went to the city club. A lot of their sailing happens out of cows. And so, you know, the city club is, you know, where everybody hangs out when they're in the city, and it's a residence club as well as a beautiful restaurant. And then the members meet in various locations that are great sailing locations. But before, just to let you know about the break coming up, is that Aaron Stone is a USA sailor, and I interviewed him. He was a member of the team for Elusive with the Podesta family, and he's from Southern California, from San Pedro. And so we're going to hear a little bit of the interview from him.
Okay, great stuff. And we still have about a minute. What is the best food you've had in Malta, Karen?
Oh, do I have to choose? Oh, my goodness. I will tell you that the Royal Malta Yacht Club has marvelous food. They had a wonderful buffet that was set up for the racers and for all of the family and friends who are visiting there, and just a great combination of different types of fish dishes, fish with rice, you know, there were different pastas. And one of the things I really appreciate about Malta and the other places I've been going in Europe is that they have gluten-free options. And my daughter's been with me. And so to have gluten-free pasta that tastes as good as it does, that's just pretty amazing. I was really delighted at all of those options available to us.
Gluten-free has made its way overseas. It's Karen yep. Lyle with it. Karen, stand by. When we come back, we're going to hook up with Christoph Aaron and Maya Podesta and talk about racing in Malta as well. Live from Spain is Karen Lyle. I'm Rick Tittle here in San Francisco. So come on back on Titillating Sports.
This is Karen Lyle of Sail Sport Talk, and I'm here with Adrian Stone, who is representing USA on board Elusive. So tell us a little bit about your sailing background and how you came to be aboard this crew.
Well, I met Cree, the skipper, and one of the family members in 2007, racing on the Scooter Mariette in Sardinia. and we kept in touch, and he asked me to come race with him in 2008. So I came to Malta for my first time in 2008, and I raced with the family on their old boat, Elusive One, with their father, Arthur Podesta, and it was an amazing lap of the island of Sicily. And it was an amazing experience to be in Malta for the first time and to be with the Maltese family. And it's a very welcoming family. They really bring you into the sailing tradition here, and it's a very strong one. And I was smitten by it. And luckily, I had the chance to come back in subsequent years on a Swan 82 for the race. And I haven't been back to Malta for about 6 or 7 years. And I've raced with Cree in the meantime on J-classes and other boats. And we've always kept in touch and seen each other around the scene. And he asked me to come back this year. And was very happy and very fortunate to come back and race with Elusive 2 for this epic win this year.
Well, congratulations on that win.
Thank you very much.
And also, this is a very unusual entrance going into the race through the channel. Can you describe for our audio listeners a little bit about what that's like coming out through the city on either side?
Well, starting over in the Grand Harbor side of Valletta, you're basically surrounded by fortifications on both sides. And Malta is an island that is just drenched with history. It's layered upon layered, from Phoenicians to Greeks to Romans to the Crusaders, to the Moors, to the Crusaders, to the French, to the English. And it's all built upon itself. And you're basically just surrounded by history on either side. And there's these great big walls and forts and cannons and cathedrals with pinnacles and spires, and it's really amazing. And for me, as a young American guy, you know, I was just thoroughly besotted by medieval Europe and, you know, the ancient history here. So to sail off between this very narrow entrance where you've got, you know, forts and these great big walls, and it's very tricky to sail out of, to be fair. There's a lot of boats crammed into a very tight space, and they're all vying to get to the line, and the wind is very fluky and it's very tough, and it comes down from various gusts from the streets and from the spires and fort top. It's very tricky, but it is also very beautiful. And so you have to on one hand stay very focused, and on the other hand you have to you also are just taking it all in, drinking in this, you know, beautiful surrounding, which is Malta, Valletta, Grand Harbor, the whole area.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk in Malta at the Rolex Middle Sea Race.
All right, thank you for that, Christopher Cross. Welcome back to San Francisco. Rick Tittle with you on Sports Byline. We are joined by Karen Lyle, who is in Barcelona, Catalonia, in Spain. And also we have on the line Christoph Podesta, who is someone who has a great history of sailing in Malta. Christoph, thanks for being on the show. Tell us a little bit more about your background on the seven seas.
Hi, everyone. Well, I kind of grew up sailing ever since I was very young. I always spent a lot of time on the sea and on the water. I probably started sailing when I was about 5 years old on a little Mira 10 dinghy. From there, it started off with just little trips out with my dad, and then I started sailing it with my brother. And then we started to get into some racing, so we kind of pimped our little wooden dinghy out to take his racing. After a number of years racing that, I actually switched to Optimist, where I spent a number of years training with the Maltese squad, and I even represented Malta a few times overseas. And when I grew out of the Optimist, I moved on to the Laser. And there again, I spent a number of years training and sailing on the national team, and also representing Malta in a number of international events. Meanwhile, I was actually always sailing on the side with my family, my father, my brother, my sister, on our family boat Elusive, which we started sailing with the first Elusive in 1999. And ever since, we've always done a lot of sailing together. And as I grew older, I even started to do a lot of sailing overseas on classic yachts and maxis and participating in all sorts of events all over the world. Over recent years, I kind of started sailing on a higher level and more professionally, and I was captain on a number of super yachts. I did that for about 4 years, doing multiple trips across the Atlantic into the Caribbean, all over the Mediterranean, and more recently last year, a trip around the world. I have now tried to sort of take myself away from the full-time sailing, and I'm now spending some more time in Malta.
Well, and Christoph, it was great to be sitting on your boat with you and your entire crew of 10, which includes Maya and Aaron Podesta. Tell me, When did you and your siblings decide that you wanted to continue this legacy after your father passed away of just competing in the Rolex Middle Sea Race? And how did this become a passion for you?
Well, I don't think we ever came to the point where we decided we'd continue it. I think over the years we just loved it so much, and it was just an automatic thing that after my father passed away, there were no words needed. It was already predetermined and agreed.
You know, Christoph, there are a lot of people in America that don't know how amazing Malta is. We think of either the Maltese Falcon, the movie, or we think about the Knights Templar. But tell us more about Valletta and just the interesting culture when you think about how it draws from Italy and from North Africa and Spain and Cyprus and Greece. I mean, it's a pretty amazing place.
Yeah, Malta is quite a special place. Being bang in the middle of the Mediterranean, we've been influenced from all corners of the Mediterranean, from North Africa and the Italians, the Spanish. We've been invaded by many different rulers of Europe. So it's basically a big, throwing many different cultures into a big pot and mixing them up and ending up with Malta.
Christoph, I know that you are sharing the phone there and you have your brother Aaron and Maya there. Do you think that we could talk a little bit with Maya?
Sure. Maya's right next to me, and I can pass you on.
Okay. Hello, Maya.
Hello.
Hi. It's good. It's good to hear from you. So, Maya, you are I almost think about you as the producer of that boat and all of the things that happened for the race, because you're so involved in pulling everything together. And I believe you're the only female crew on board. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. I am the only female. I don't think it makes much difference on the boat, because we do sort of everyone does everything. So that's okay.
Well, and you've been doing this. This is your family, and so the crew are basically your guests. You had some pretty heavy weather at some point coming around Sicily. What was that like on that small, was about a 45-foot yacht?
Yes, she is 45 feet, in fact. And the sea was probably bigger than the wind was, because it had been blowing for a while until we'd actually got around the corner of Sicily and started heading down towards Pantelleria. And the sea was quite wishy-washy, I must say. It was a little uncomfortable.
Well, I talked to another boat from Croatia that decided at that point that they weren't going to finish the race. They didn't quite have as much experience as your crew did, bringing that all together. But this was your home territory.
Maybe not home territory, but we've done the race so many times that we do have our own element of local knowledge now.
Is there a place in Sicily that's sort of like your Cape Horn, like this is the dangerous part, or is it all about the same?
It's difficult. I can't really pinpoint a point. Probably, I mean, it all depends on the conditions, really. But if it's blowing a strong northwesterly, Then getting around Capo San Vito, which is the northwestern point, can be quite scary because, of course, it's a lee shore. So you do want to give it a wide berth just in case.
Maya, go ahead, Rick. We can't point to each other as to which one's going next.
No, we'll just ping pong it. Let's take turns. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Maya, I was wondering if we might be able to talk a little bit with Aaron about the boat and the modifications that you made. Would you mind passing the phone to him? And thank you so much for joining us, Maya.
I'm afraid Aaron isn't actually with us. He didn't make it.
Okay.
I can either pass you back to Christoph or you may.
I know that he knows a lot about this subject, as do you. So certainly you may do so.
Yeah, I'll pass the phone back to Cree.
Hi.
So Christoph, you were telling me a little bit about the ways in which you modified this boat to help you win this race and be able to get it going a little bit faster. Can you share that with us for the sailors who are listening?
Sure. So we've kind of looked at the whole boat overall, and we've made a number of changes to help the boat perform better in the long distance offshore races. And giving us an overall better performing boat. And we also focused on the boat's weaknesses. So we always felt the boat's weakness was light winds. So we really made an effort to help the boat in light winds. We did this through a number of things. Primarily, we raced the boat with a very, very well-fed, smooth bottom. So the bottom of the boat is all very finely sanded and polished, so we have a perfect finish, giving the boat least resistance, water resistance, and allowing the keel and rudder to work most efficiently. Other things are the mast. We recently built a new mast for the boat, which was much lighter and much stiffer. This really helped enhance the boat's performance in both light wind and heavy wind. Together with the mast, we also built a new bowsprit for the boat. We previously raced the boat with a spinnaker pole. However, that proved to be not very effective for the offshore racing we're doing. So we've eliminated the spinnaker pole and we've gone for a bowsprit, a large 1.7-meter bowsprit. And we've enlarged our spinnakers by 25%, giving us a lot more sail area. We've also really focused on making the boat lighter. So we've eliminated all the extra things on the boat that are not really helping us on the race. And we've also changed out a number of things to lighter options. One in particular is the battery. The battery system. We had four lead acid AGM batteries on the boat, which we have now replaced with a lithium ion battery, saving over 70 kilos in weight. This battery alone is not just more efficient in the way it discharges and recharges, but is obviously much lighter, getting rid of more weight out of the boat, allowing the boat to always accelerate faster whenever we catch little gusts of wind.
Last question for you. We're almost out of time. I remember seeing on 60 Minutes the Maltese Falcon, which is the world's largest sailing yacht, and Tom Hanks and Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
And it's possible, I guess, for one person to control the whole boat. It's got these very interesting masts. Have you ever seen it or been on the Maltese Falcon?
Yeah, I've seen the boat many times before. I've been aboard her a few times as well. It is an extremely impressive boat, and it is quite amazing to see sailing.
All right, that is Christoph Podesta, and we also heard from his sister, Maya Podesta. Thank you so much for calling in from Malta. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And Karen in Barcelona, what is next on the docket for you?
Well, I'm going to Hamburg, and I'll be going from there to Paris. So those will be my next two stops. And I'll probably be talking to you from Paris next time we talk, Tuesday at, I guess, here it's right now 5:37 p.m., but there it's 9:37 a.m.
Hamburg has some very nice lakes downtown, and also you're not far from Kiel, which is basically, the, as you know, the most famous sailing city on the Elbe there in Germany.
Right. Well, I have a lot of friends in Germany, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. It's a very big, big sailing community, but many of them do go down to the Mediterranean to sail, so not everybody who's in Germany sails in Germany, and that's true for many of the countries, you know, that are in the colder climes.
How close are you to never coming home?
You know, I love San Francisco. we do have a wonderful city. But I absolutely love to travel, so I don't know. I'm going to clone myself so I can be both places at the same time.
All right, let me know if you can do that. I'll join you. Karen Lyle from Barcelona Salesport Talk, thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you from Gay Paris.
Okay, that sounds great.
Thank All right, thank you very much. Can I still call it Gay Paris in 2019? I think I can. Rick Tittle with you. Come on back.